Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Can he go all the way here? Still Nasri. Looks for Ashamin!
We've said it's going to be an active summer. I expect to be busy. I think Arsene expects to be busy.
Hello there, and welcome to a brand new Arseblog Arsecast. But more importantly, welcome to a brand new football season. Now, I don't care how bad you think we are, or I don't care how bad we actually are. Doesn't matter how scared or fearful or annoyed or trepidatious or frustrated you are. If you found yourself standing in the corner of the room, just banging your head off the wall like boom. If Arsene Wenger and Ivan Gazidis and our transfer market inactivity has driven you to internet forums and blogs where you find yourself typing all in caps because you must be heard about how terrible we are. The start of a new season, well, it's a fresh page, a clean sheet, and let there be many more of those. And none of us let's be clear about this from the very start, none of us are fortune tellers. Some people have the gift of hindsight. If only all of us were granted such gifts. But none of us know exactly what the future is going to hold. It might be good, it might be bad, it might be indifferent. And, you know, I'm sitting here not particularly encouraged about where we are and what we've done this summer. Nevertheless, we've got that start of feeling sensation going on where you just want a game of football, a proper game of football. None of these preseason nonsense things. Nobody cares about them. Nobody ever cared about them. They only started making us care about them so they could get money off us. Preseason, yeah, it's good for fitness and you can make some judgments if you like, but I don't think we should really start making any proper judgments until proper football starts. And that's tomorrow. So tomorrow, at around 7:30, we'll be in a much better place to know if we're really terrible, quite terrible, not that terrible, or terrible and we got away with it. So let's wait until then. I hope your summer has been fine. If you've had a summer, we've had some occasional hot days here, which have brought about the odd barbecue and sitting out the back with the beers and the rums and all that kind of stuff. It's warm here this evening, I have to say, but it's not been much of a summer. And in terms of what Arsenal have done during the summer, it's been a bit underwhelming. I think you would agree. We've had a couple of arrivals. Gervinho, after, I don't know, how many days, weeks, how many times did he turn up at the training ground? I don't know. The deal was done about 16 times. And then eventually it was actually done and we signed him. Carl Jenkinson, the young guy from Charlton, and we've brought Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain in, and that's, you know, that's fine. But there's been doubts, haven't there? And there have been players who want to go, who haven't gone for one reason or another. Cesc, of course, hasn't gone because those huge clusterfucks at Barcelona have dicked us around all summer, and frankly, I think we've let them a bit. I think we certainly could have been a bit more decisive and worked the situation to our benefit. And he hasn't gone, and Samir Nasri wants to go, but he hasn't gone because Arsenal won't sell to Manchester United, but seems like they might sell to Manchester City. And he's had his head turned by money and agents and whatever people might say about why did the club let him get into this situation with his contract. They were offering him a contract for months and months and months. And he said, yes, I'll sign. It's fine. Everything's good. Now I'm not signing. And now I'm going to go somewhere else. And then he tries to dress it up, you know, with these stories about how it's all about ambition and winning trophies and, you know, that's an easy one to hide behind, and not too many people are fooled by that. And then we've had Bentner and Aboué, who have been in talks with clubs to leave for, oh, I don't know, about the last 3 or 4 weeks. What do they do in these talks? Who are they talking to? Maybe they're talking to themselves, but they haven't gone. They haven't left. Danielson left, and he's over in Brazil now, getting sent off in every game. Turns out you actually need to know how to tackle when you're a professional footballer. Who knew? Almunia? Did you look at the Champions League squad the other day, the announcement of it, and see Almunia's name? And did a little bit of sick come up in your mouth too? It did. I think that was a collective. How many fans does Arsenal have around the world? 10 million, 20 million fans around the world? I don't know. But every single one of them, when they saw that, went... Ham sandwich for lunch. So we've had problems. But then not many people are buying players. That's the thing. Not too many clubs. Sunderland have bought all the players that everyone else is going to buy, I think. United did. I know United did. But generally, the transfer market is quite quiet. That's not to excuse us, because I think we really should have done more over the course of the summer. The areas in which the team needs to be strengthened, well, they weren't strengthened. And you can talk about Cesc and Nasri complicating issues, but even if Cesc and Nasri stayed, we still needed a defender, at least one, centre-half and a left-back probably, in my opinion. We still needed those players. So what did we do? Didn't buy any of them, and we sold our most experienced left-back. Now, I can see that it was time for Clichy to move on, but why not bring in better player than Clichy. Instead of hoping that a young guy like Gibbs can make this step up. Because if Gibbs is as good as Arsene Wenger thinks he is, even if we buy a left back, Gibbs will make it. His talent will shine through. That's what happens when you're a really, really good player. You play all the time. And maybe there was a case to be made for buying somebody like Leighton Baines at left back, and, you know, Gibbs is young enough to be able to make it still, and I don't know. So it's been a bit unsatisfactory, and there's been a lot of frustration and a lot of unhappiness and a lot of internet unhappiness and drama, and fainting couches have been, virtual fainting couches, of course, have been deployed throughout. But here we are at the start of a new season, and I just can't help being a little bit excited because I want to see the Arsenal again. I want to see them in their new kit, running around, kicking a football, scoring goals, and hopefully not letting in so many. And that's what it's all about, really. For all the talk, it all comes down to the 90 minutes on a Saturday and a Tuesday and Wednesday, etc., etc. So we'll go on with that. Anyway, just to tell you, on the show today, in a couple of moments' time, I will be talking to the Gunnerholic and Gilberto Silva about our summer and the inaction. And, you know, we'll probably go over all that ground that we've gone over all summer. But sure, here we are. And that's why we're here, to talk about it. And you can listen and it'll be fine. It'll take up your tube journey or your car journey, or if you're lying in bed, or I don't know what you might be doing while you're listening to this. I don't want to think about it now, actually. But they'll be along in a few moments' time. But now Internet Joe has been enjoying the summer. Here's his roundup.
I'm Internet Joe, and here's a 20-second roundup of the summer. Loads of players are going to leave, and loads are going to come in. Any day now, Dace Jenkinson, that's a good start. Floodgates are going to open. July, transfer window's open. It's all going to happen now. Where's Gervinho? Gervinho, come on, where is he? Gervinho, sign him. Where's Gervinho? I want Gervinho. Is he going to sign? Gervinho, how many medicals does he need? Fucking sign Gervinho with it. What the fuck is going on here? Why aren't we signing any more players? Cesc, Nadri leaving. What's going on? Alex Duncan, Watson Cat. What the fuck? Should have gone to Magaluf.
That's Internet Joe, and provided he doesn't do himself some damage falling backwards to his fainting couch when something terrible and unspeakable happens in the world of Arsenal, he'll be back on next week's show. Still to come, we'll be looking ahead to the Newcastle game, the first game of the season, and the scene of that, well, that game last season, which we will hope to put to bed, and we'll be looking ahead to that. I'll give you some details about the live blog and the new live blog chat to come as well. But now, joining me to discuss all the bits and pieces of the summer and where we are right at this moment, I'm delighted to welcome two top bloggers. Firstly, from Gunnerholic.com, Gunnerholic.
Hello there, blogs. Thanks for having me.
Very welcome. And Gilberto Silva from Gunnerblog.com.
Hello.
No freestyling. This is football discussion, all right?
Okay, I'll try and keep it to a minimum.
The boy's good.
He is. Let's start with a quick question to both of you. And I'll start with you, Gilberto Silva. The summer that has gone and is now, here we are on the cusp of a new season. It doesn't seem like it's been long and interminable, even though it's felt like it. How would you mark the summer out of 10?
It's a difficult one. I think it would be less than 5. I think I'd probably go for about 3.
3.
3.
All
yeah.
Right. Holick?
Well, if you're talking about to date, then I can't argue with that. It's going to be, well, 3 or 4, isn't it? Mm. I remain convinced and hopeful that our best work is still to come. But as we're speaking, things are not looking great.
All right. So you're going 3 or 4. I, too, would end up in the 3 to 4 region. It hasn't been, because I think what's frustrated fans this summer is there was, even though the end of last season was so terrible, there was an expectation that the terribleness would beget some awesomeness that would happen in the summer, that they would look at it and say, well, Jesus, that was just shit, and we're going to have to do something about this. And all through the summer, people have been waiting for them to do something about it, and so far they haven't. We've signed Gervinho, who looks a decent player. Oxlade-Chamberlain, again, looks a decent player, but is only 17. We've got Miyachi, who's 18 and has been playing schools football and a bit for Feyenoord, and Carl Jenkinson. And, you know, the calibre of the players that have been added to the squad really haven't got too many people excited. Do you, Holick, have any idea why we are
24 hours away from the start of the new season, and we are where we are and not in a much better place?
One has to assume, and I am making an assumption, that the whole business that's gone on with Cesc and to a certain extent with Nasri has an effect. It has to come to a conclusion in order for a significant sum of money that wasn't there in the first place to be released. And I still happen to, but I hear what you're saying there. I have a rather more optimistic view about the signings that we've made so far, in that we appear to be gearing up for life after Cesc and injecting some much needed speed and some much needed genuine wide players. I'm fed up of seeing centre forwards on the right wing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only a starting point, and that's got me enthusiastic. But of course, what we have to do now is, as and when those Fabregas and Nasri situations are resolved, and we assume it's going to be shortly because of the now increased noise that's going on and the assurances that we do want to get things sorted out, I assume that then we can address the issue of the experienced club players coming into the positions that we most considered ourselves vulnerable last season.
Okay, and fair enough. And I want to make it clear that I'm not writing off the new signings by any means, and I'm quite excited by them as well. On the very basic level, but just looking at them in a wider context, obviously people will talk about it. Gilberto Silva, Arsene is talking about the Nasri and the Cesc situations. Last night he said, we hope it will be sorted quickly one way or the other. We'll know very quickly. He said the Nasri situation is stable. He says it's difficult to speak about possible transfers, but we're in a situation where we have to make decisions one way or the other. Ideally, you want it to be sorted out before the season starts. Mm-hmm. If Arsene had been, if he'd said this in June, I would be sitting here going, well, that's fair enough. You want it sorted before the season. He's saying this, a couple of days before the season begins. What I was told earlier in the summer was that Clichy and Nasri, if they didn't sign new deals by the end of June, were going to be sold. And the Nasri situation obviously hasn't reached that point, and it's been allowed to drag on the same way the Cesc situation has been allowed to drag on. Arsene must have known that Cesc wanted to leave in June or May or April at some stage. Why have we not been more decisive in this whole situation with both of them?
I have to say, I find that a very difficult question to answer. And that's the main criticism I would level at the club for their actions over the summer, is that they weren't decisive enough in solving these two problems. And I don't think that it's unrealistic to have put a deadline on a deal for Fabregas. I don't think it was unrealistic to put a deadline on a new deal for Nasri. And as soon as it became clear he wasn't going to be signing that deal, except, an offer that's on the table. I think that the problem is that Arsene says he wants these problems solved before the start of the season. Selling the player is not solving the problem. That is half the problem. Mm. The other half is replacing them. And we start the season without having done that. The players that we brought in are good players, and like you, I share your excitement. I'm not here to knock those young kids who we brought in and the likes of Jovinho, but they don't fill the gap in the side that the departure of even one of those two guys would leave. And I think that it's a major flaw that we didn't deal with it earlier, because now we're in a position whereby if we do sell them, we're going to go into a market with 3 weeks. We're going to have a sort of second summer in which everybody knows essentially what our budget is, because we'll have received the fees in, and there'll be massive pressure on the club to bring in players of a high calibre. And unfortunately, the real fear is that as fans, a lot of fans no longer have the faith that reinvestment will happen. And that's the really disturbing thing. We can only, I believe it will still, and I hope it will. But you can understand those who have concerns that it won't.
Hmm. The situation, and I'll stay with you for a second, regarding Cesc, is markedly different from the way it was last summer.
Yeah.
Arsene was categoric. He's our captain. He's not leaving. We have no intention of selling him. He's under contract till 2015. That came out very early in the summer, and it was sorted, and that was it.
Mm.
If we, that's what makes it so strange, because we haven't been anywhere near that categoric. In fact, we've been open to the sale throughout the summer.
Yeah, I think by not making that statement, we made our position very clear. You know, having set that precedent, as soon as we didn't do that, we made it very clear that we were open to a sale, and that has allowed Barcelona to drag their feet. And ultimately, it looks like they're going to get their way with a compromise deal that, in my opinion, does not reflect the player's true value.
I would agree with that. Holik, your thoughts on the loss of Cesc, I suppose. You know, a lot of people will examine the behaviours and the wheres and the why fors, and I don't suppose we'll know the real truth of it, because we're not privy to it. We can make assumptions based on the information that we have. And I don't want to get into a situation where, you know, this is all the fault of Arsenal, or it's all the fault of Cesc, or it's all the fault of Cesc's agent or Barcelona. You know, it's a whole big plate of shit that we're going through. But from a football point of view, it's going to be a big loss, because he is our best player, one of the most creative players in Europe. And it's going to be difficult to cope with that. Again, it would make you wonder why we haven't done more about it, or more to solve the situation sooner than we have.
On that last point specifically, it is interesting that up until the last year or two, we have not lost players who Arsene Wenger has not minded losing. And the point that you made just a minute ago when you were talking about we seem to have been open to this sale all summer does make you wonder how... I'm not saying we're keen to lose him, don't get me wrong, but I think there was a figure at which we probably think that we can do some business to the benefit of the football club. And that kind of leads on to the obvious statement, the old cliche, no player is bigger than the football club. And I'm unlucky enough, you might say, to have seen it many times before. Yeah. When Liam Brady left in 1980, we actually improved our league position the following season. And his replacement, from memory, I think we only really brought John Hollins in and put a bit more responsibility onto Graham Rix's shoulders. But we did better in the league. We had a similar situation when Thierry Henry went. Everybody was saying, well, you know, it's the last of the big names. And yet the following season, we should have won the league, and but for the Eduardo incident at Birmingham, I remain convinced we would have done, although that's, of course, at this point, a subjective and meaningless view. Mm. But the point remains that we have lost our best player many years ago and more recently, and come out of it stronger. And I'd ask people to be a little bit more open-minded about that, even though today it might not look likely.
Okay, well, here's the thing then. Let me put you on the spot a bit. Do you have faith in the manager to replace our best player, or to improve the team with the proceeds that will be available from the sale of our best player? Do you still have that faith that he will do it?
Let me answer it another way.
All right.
I have to have faith that that's going to happen. But if steps aren't taken to improve matters before August the 31st, then I think all kinds of things could happen, and what happens will depend on whether we get through the Champions League qualifier or not. More concern to me, and you know, when we got together at the end of last season, this Champions League qualifier scared the living daylights out of me, and it still does, in that, no, we do not have the players in place to replace players who have not yet left, if that makes sense. Mm. And so I'm worried that by default we could tread on a banana skin, and were that to happen, his position, I think, becomes untenable. But I don't think that's going to happen.
All right. I see where you're coming from with that.
Yeah.
Gilberto Silva, it leads us on nicely to the defence, because, we're just guys who go and watch football and sit around and talk about football and write about football without claiming any expertise or anything like that. But I think the view of many Arsenal fans was that the defence needed to be strengthened. We had a weakness.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog. It's interesting that they've seemed to have addressed that in preseason. I saw an interview with Chesney where he's talking about how they're concentrating on set pieces, but I think it went a bit more a bit deeper than that, in the sense that we needed new personnel. So far, that hasn't happened beyond Carl Jenkinson, who is, you know, is going to be the understudy to Bakary Sagna. Mm-hmm. The centre half that everyone wants and that Arsenal really do need hasn't arrived. The left back situation is, well, I mean, we've seen Arsene do it before, in the sense that he's, you know, replaced one with the next one and the next one with Silvinho, Cole, Clichy. He's done it before and looks like he's going to do it again with Gibbs, but, you know, I remain unconvinced. I think he's a good player, but his injury record doesn't really convince me. If we go into the first few games of the season without having strengthened the defence, and we lose points because we concede a goal at a set piece, or, you know, he's on a hiding to nothing. And it's very difficult to explain it or defend him in those circumstances, I think.
I think it is, especially because it's something that he and even Gazidis have publicly acknowledged as a weakness. You know, they've both spoken publicly about the need to improve the defence. Arsene, I think, went on record about a week or two ago saying, you know, we definitely need to sign a defender, and it's widely assumed, because it coincided with a bid for Phil Jagielka, that was a centre-back. Alarm bells will be ringing today, because the German magazine Kicker has quoted him saying he doesn't need a defender. He's got four centre-backs. So that'll be the cat among the proverbial.
Tell me it ain't so.
No, I can't. I think that must be wrong, because we know he's been after us. We know he's bid for Jagielka at least.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I hope what hasn't happened is what has happened all too often with Arsene, is that he puts a value on a player, offers it to a club, and when they ask for more, he says, no, that's not what I deem to be his valuation. He's not prepared to pay a little bit extra for the player that he's identified. If Jagielka's the guy that he wants, he's got to go and get him. I think that, you know, the defence requires, in some ways, it's almost, as much as anything, it's having someone new. Like Chesney, his youth and his confidence, as much as his technical ability as a goalkeeper, made a massive difference. And the fact that, you know, people weren't on his back, there wasn't this sort of constant trepidation about what he was going to do, and people were prepared to give him a chance, I think that massively worked in his favour. And I think at centre-half, the same issues exist. I think there's so much negativity surrounding some of those individuals. Some of it, I would say, a little unfair. Mm-hmm. That you know, having a new guy in would be a fantastic help. The only other thing I would say is that I was listening to Nigel Winterburn on the radio today, and he was talking about, you know, the work that they did as a back four under George Graham, and, you know, it's something that's been over and over a million times. But a new face is not going to solve the larger problem of the team's defensive ability. And I think we have a lot to learn as a collective play and dealing with set pieces. One guy coming in, be it Jagielka, be it whoever, is not going to change that big problem. And I hope that the work, as you say, on the training ground has been done to try and put that right.
It's funny because I was doing half writing the season preview for the blog, and that was a point I made, that, you know, just bringing in Jagielka won't solve all the problems, or just bringing in, you know, a new player won't solve the problems. Personnel will help for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's interesting what you say about Price, because, you know, he's obviously gone after Jagielka and won't push the boat out for him in terms of money. He won't pay what Bolton apparently want for Gary Cahill, if he wants Cahill at all. Samba, another thing. And we're in a position where we're being linked with Scott Dann, who's a £6 million player from Birmingham. Hollick, your thoughts on that? Because, I know it's when you look at it in the context that we're looking at it in, for example, Cesc is leaving and Nasri is leaving and we're buying Scott Dann. What's going on here? But if you look at it from the context that, well, he's better than Squillaci, probably, you know, it makes a bit of sense in that. What I'm trying to say is that whoever he buys, you know, people aren't going to be happy in a way.
I know exactly what you're saying, and I what concerns me about the players we've been linked with, all of them, and why I think he's probably not prepared to pay the sums of money that are being demanded for Jagielka and Cahill in particular, are that they do seem to me, and my relatively untrained eye, as being very similar players to Thomas Vermaelen, and I don't know that they're the answer. There was a bit of excitement earlier in the summer about Samba, who would have been a different type of player. But I think looking at close season, we don't appear to have changed our desire to defend a high line. And then you would have needed someone, you'd have needed three Olympic sprinters alongside Samba to cover the gaps behind him. And I think probably in that respect, then Dann may not be the worst player to bring in on the planet. But the thing I would ask is that, you know, we made the point at the end of last season, what we don't want is squad players. What we want is first team players who are going to drag us over the line and do the finish the job that we've started twice in the last 3 or 4 years. And I don't know that Dann gets a starting berth above Koscielny for me. I can't believe for one moment there's not a player of which we are aware, probably in France or Spain as our preferred targets, that doesn't meet our requirements at a reasonable fee. But no one seems to have been mentioned to date. It wouldn't surprise me if Arsene was flying under the radar with somebody completely out of the blue on that.
All right.
That's true, although I would say the only thing I'd add to that is that he did mention the back end of last season the importance of Premier League experience, and I do think if we look at the players we've been linked with, I mean, it's hard to know how much of it's just talk, but looking at Jagielka, I think that that's something that he's gone out for. He wants someone who knows the domestic game, and I think that that's why, that's the only possible explanation I can find for interest in Dann. However, I would second your point. I don't think Scott Dan's a better player than Johan Giroud or Laurent Koscielny, and for me, if we're going to sign a centre-back, that's what we need. Not someone who's better than Squillaci, but someone who's better than Koscielny.
Yeah. Oh, hardly.
All right. So we're not doing particularly well on the defensive side of things either.
You don't know who he's going to sign. This is my point.
Yeah, well, nobody does. I don't think he does at this point in time. Because, you know, while you say flying under the radar, I kind of see flying by the seat of his pants. Sort of, you know, this sort of, well, making it up as he goes along thing, which he's done once or twice before. You know, Sylvester was a classic one of those where it became known that he was having a medical. I think it was at Sunderland. It could have even have been Man City. And when that news became public, Arsene was on the phone making the worst phone call he ever made in his in his life. But there you go. Right. Let's look at some of the positives, because we're obviously in familiar territory here, and nobody's particularly happy. And you know, let's look at a couple of the positives that we've seen from the summer. Rio Miachi, Gervinho, looks like he will add an injection of pace into our attack. And for all the problems that we've had with our defence, the big issue I think we had towards the tail end of last season was that we didn't score enough goals. So it is interesting that there is a focus on the other end of the pitch too. We have problems, I suppose, as well, in the sense that players that we want to move out of the club, we haven't necessarily been able to do that, and that speaks perhaps to the wider market and the amount of money that's out there and the amount of movement there is, and Bentner and Shamak. Let's look at the forward positions of the club, and once you go beyond Robin van Persie, do we have enough depth there, Gilberto Silva?
I think in the wide areas we've got a shed load of players. You know, as you mentioned, four players who are sort of new to the club in your introduction, and three of them are wide attackers. I think we've got plenty there, especially if Nasri stays, but I don't know how likely that is at this stage. Centre forward, I think, is much more of a concern. Obviously, Robin van Persie was fantastic in the second half of last season. For my money, Marouane Chamakh had a great first half of the season. I really, really thought he did a stellar job while van Persie was injured. However, since van Persie's come back, Chamakh has looked a shadow of himself, really, or a shadow of what we thought we had. And I've got big concerns about his ability to lead the line in the likely event of something happening to Robin. You know, we've been linked with this Joel Campbell character, who is another kid and, you know, not someone who's played about half a dozen senior games in his life. So I've got big concerns about centre forward, especially if Nicolas Bentner departs. It seems he's having trouble sort of finalising a move for financial reasons. If that were to fall through, I wouldn't be in the least bit disappointed.
Hollick, your thoughts on that? I know that you're a Chamakh fan in your way.
I can't hide the fact I did rave about him last year. I was pleased that we bought him, and over the first half of the season, I think he was exactly the player I thought we were getting. And maybe he's a player who, it's one of those, he has to play every week. He can't play fits and starts. He has to get over that, because, you know, he's not going to start in front of Robin van Persie if the Dutchman's fit. But depending on what happens over the next couple of days with the shape of the squad, one of the points that I've made just this week is that now that we have these genuine wide players, we have the ability to change the formation that we play almost from minute to minute. And 4-2-4 is one of those options that we can employ. And, you know, it's all very well talking about maybe that would benefit Chamakh. I mean, if the guy doesn't get his mojo back, he doesn't get his mojo back. You're then looking probably at promoting, is this the year finally, while we have all these wide players, that Theo Walcott gets his chance to prove that he can play up the middle? There are options that we have, I think. I'm less concerned about the attacking half of the field than I am the defending half.
Gilberto Silva, just before we wrap it up, and I'll give you both a chance to answer this question, what are you looking forward to? Because I know we're all a little bit, we've got some trepidation going on, given the fact that August is a particularly difficult month in the Liverpool, Man United, Champions League qualifier. You know, we haven't sold anyone, or we haven't bought anyone, you know, all this sort of stuff. What are you in particular looking forward to this season, leaving all the terrible stuff to one side?
There's two things that spring to mind. And the first is seeing Thomas Vermaelen back. He had a fantastic first season and was hugely missed last season. And I do think I'm going to get slated for saying it, but it does feel like a new signing. I'm also looking forward to seeing the development of Jack Wilshere as well. I do think that with whatever money we get for Cesc, we'd never be able to buy a better replacement than the one that we've got in Jack Wilshere. And I think, you know, he was outstanding last season, and I think he's maturing as a man and a player. And whoever comes in will play second fiddle to him. He will step up this season and take responsibility and become one of the leaders of this Arsenal side. And I feel very sure of that. That's the sort of one saving grace, I suppose, about losing the skipper.
All right. Hollick?
Oh, absolutely agree with what GS just said. But there's another one for me that, given, again, that we have all these wide players and we're freeing up someone who's been asked to play as a wide left-sided player, has been given an awful lot of stick because he's not geared up to playing as a wide-sided left-field player and he's not inclined to gallop back and cover his fullback too much. But there's an opportunity, were we to change the way that we play, to put Andre Arshavin into the position that he would probably prefer to play and the position that got him the reputation that made us pay all that money for him. And this wouldn't be a bad year for us to use him that way and for him to show that he can be a big-time player in that position, because I have a feeling we're going to need someone to step up there. But we shall see, but I'm hoping that Arshavin and Wilshere, for me, big successes this year.
All right, gentlemen, welcome to the new season. Thank you very much for your time. Gunnar Hollick from gunnarhollick.com.
Thank you very much, Blogs and GS.
And Emma Gunnarblog from gunnarblog.com.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you very much indeed to my guests. You know where to find them on their blogs or on Twitter, so go read or go follow. Or in Gilberto Silva's case, you can wait for his new album to come out. Yes, I believe it's on the way, under production, as we speak. Signed a deal with Louis Walsh there just the other day, but don't tell anyone. Trade secret. Before we look ahead to the Newcastle game and some details of the live blog and all that kind of stuff, here's Amari Bischoff, PI. The guy walked into the office. I looked at my watch. It was 8:59. That was good. He worked in the office and he should have been there before 9. He looked at me. I knew there was something going on. What is it? I said. Well, he said, I gotta talk to you about something, boss. What's that? I said. Well, he said, I want to leave. What do you mean you want to leave? I said. The work is good here, you get paid well, you like it. Yeah, he said, I like it okay, but I got another job offer, a detective from my hometown. He actually completes some of his cases, I want to go back. You can't, I said. I got this real important thing coming up in the next couple of months. I need you here. But boss, he said, if you let me go now, you got time to find a replacement, someone else who can do the job. No, I said, that's out of the question. I need you. But he wouldn't quit it, kept going on and on. In the end, I had to let him go. And that thing starts tomorrow. Fuck. Sentiments I think we can all understand at this particular moment in time. So the new season is upon us, and Newcastle away tomorrow, 5:30 on ESPN. We kick off our season at the scene of that thing last season. I don't know what I can. It's not. It wasn't a game to me. I don't look back on it as a game. I look back on it as a swollen, grotesque, misshapen, pus-filled, oozing thing. That's the only way I can describe it. It was a horrendous thing. It's disgusting. So we go back there tomorrow to try and lay those ghosts to rest. And show a bit of character and show a bit of, well, fuck, that was a thing, a horrible thing. So let's get the thing and let's stamp on its head and beat it with sticks and whatever else we have to do to the thing to make the thing go away. So we don't ever, ever have to think about the thing again. There's not much in the way of team news around at this moment in time. The only injuries, I believe, are Jack Wilshere, who has an Achilles problem. The club being a bit cautious there, I think, given what happened with Thomas Vermaelen. Ankle inflammation is a nice way of saying Achilles problem. And Northbank Lower on Twitter says that Kieran Gibbs will have a fitness test, and I really hope that Kieran Gibbs passes that fitness test, because I look at Armand Traore sometimes and it makes me question the entire universe. A little strong, I know, but there you go. Apart from that, though, everyone should be fit and ready to play. Cesc and Nasri, I would be very surprised if Nasri took part. And as for Cesc, he could be gone by then. And that would be sad. For me, that would be a bit sad. Whatever else has happened and the way it's happened, you might not like it, but, you know, Cesc is one of the best midfield players I've ever seen at Arsenal Football Club. And losing him now, maybe a little bit ahead of schedule, is kind of sad. And I do feel, and I know I'm not that this view represents many, but I feel that perhaps we haven't made the best of his talent, that he didn't quite have the players around him that he should have had which would have allowed him to be better and would have allowed us to be better. The Xabi Alonso thing from a few summers back is, when you think about that, it was a case that, you know, we all thought, and many of the people at the club thought, that Xabi Alonso was coming, and for whatever reason, it didn't happen. Maybe Liverpool upped the price in the last few minutes, but when you shop right when the transfer window is closing, that's the risk you take. I do wonder whether things would have been a bit different if we'd had someone like Xabi Alonso in midfield over the last couple of seasons. But there you go. So I don't have any ill will or anything like it towards Cesc. I understand why it is he wants to go. I think if you examine it on a football level, it is kind of understandable. I know he signed a contract. Many people will say, well, he signed a long-term contract, but let's face it. The long contract is there, not just for the benefit of the player, but it's also there for the benefit of the clubs. A long contract protects them from situations like Nasri happening. And would you rather a player left in the middle of a long contract, or would you rather he left with 1 year to go, threatening to go on a free? So it's not as easy as saying, well, he signed a contract and he has to stick with it. That's just the reality of it. It would be nice, of course, if they all did and if they all went to the end of their contracts. But remember, clubs can be ruthless too. The minute they see a player is not producing, or they feel a player has gone past a certain sell-by date, they'll sell him. No question about it. They just move them on. Simple as that. Whether they have a contract or not, whether they want to or not. Think about David Rocastle. Sorry, Rocky, your knees are a bit fucked. We love you, but off you go. And he gets sold. So it does work both ways. And the bottom line for me is that we lose one of our best players. And that puts us in a position where we've got to replace him and spend some money and bring some quality back into the squad. So anyway, that's that with Cesc. And good luck to him, and thanks for everything. 300 and something appearances, lots of goals, lots of happy moments. Sadly, nowhere near enough trophies. And the reasons for that are, well, we could be here all day debating those, and we won't do that. It remains only for me to tell you about the live blog, the first one of the season that will take place on Saturday at 5:30. Live text updates of the game. You can follow the game if you can't see it. It works on all browsers. It works in your mobile devices as well, on Android and iPhone and all those kind of things. And the only change we've made this year is a subscription to the chat, which means that if you want to come in and chat away with other Arsenal fans while the game is going on, it costs £10. Now, what that does is it provides you with a safe, nice, non-mental place to talk about Arsenal as the game progresses. Last season, the worst things got on the pitch, the worst things got in the chat. And to me, it wasn't acceptable to have that kind of talk, and the things people were saying and the way they were saying them, that's not what Arsblog was about or ever would be about to me. And I had to think of a way to deal with that. And what I think a subscription does is it adds some value for people who just want to come along, log in, have a chat, and know that it's not going to be like some of the mad stuff you see. Like, it was getting all a bit YouTube comments. And let's face it, nobody wants to be chatting away to people who are on YouTube comments. So what Tom has done, he's done a whole load of work behind the scenes, set up this brand new live portal. There's a registration system, and when you register, you will see a little button so you can upgrade to a premium account, which will give you access to the live blog chat, new features on the Arses, which will be rolled out shortly, and other features which will be rolled out over the course of the season. £10, of course, is, what, about 20p, 15p a game, considering the amount of games that Arsenal will play throughout the season. I know it sounds like a lot online, but think about if you have a tenner in your pocket and you go out, what do? Packet of smokes, packet of Monster Munch, a pint. Do you have any change left out of a tenner? It's as simple as that. And what we want to do is ensure that there's a good place for people to come and follow live blog and chat away with other Arsenal fans without having to put up with some of the madness that's everywhere else. So I'll give links to that on the blog over the weekend. And that's just to give you a little bit of an explanation to it and to explain to you why it's happening, and of course all the hard work that has gone in from Tom to make it happen as well. So I hope you understand that. I should also make it just abundantly clear that you don't have to subscribe to follow the live blog. The live blog will be free and available to everyone as it always has been. So there you go. The season is almost here. I don't know what to say other than, come on, Arsenal. let's hope for 3 points. And obviously we've got a midweek game as well against Udinese in the Champions League. Let's hope we get ourselves off to a good start this season. Until next week's Arscast, have a good one. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Hello there! I'm Mick Benno, the greatest striker to ever live! I'm out here all alone in the cold, in the dark. I'm a bit scared. But if you want a striker that can score head-ons, just give me a ring. Because I'm Mick Benno, the greatest striker to ever live!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.